Across the Americas and around the world, once again, you're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm your host, William Cooper, and on the other end of the phone in Phoenix, Arizona, we have from Swiss America Trading, Mr. Gene Miller, to bring us up to date on precious metals. Good evening, Gene.
Good evening, Bill.
How are you this evening?
Well, I'm doing real good. How about yourself?
How's that newborn son, Jonathan?
He's growing like a weed.
Wonderful.
He's doing real good. He's having dinner right now.
What's happening in the metal market?
Well, we've had a pretty significant move all this week. I think every day it has gone up. In fact, today we had a pretty good move. It went up over $8 today, closed at $367.50 on the gold, and silver also throughout the week was up. Today alone it was up 14 cents to close at $4.45. Stock market was pretty much unchanged, down about $2.80 to close at $35.93. One of the questions, and one of the things I wanted to address tonight, because people are asking me, you know, when I talk to them, you know, what is going on, what's going to happen, and one of the things I wanted to briefly touch on is the stock market, because in dealing with a lot of your listeners, Bill, a lot of them are into the stock market, and I'm not here to say it's good, bad, or otherwise, but just to maybe get some perspective on it.
That's okay. I'll tell them it's bad.
Well, one of the things that, and Barron's, Wall Street, all of them agree that there's huge, I mean absolutely huge amounts of money being poured into the stock market to the tune of about $10 to $15 billion a month now. And one thing you have to keep in mind, for someone to be buying stock, somebody has to be selling. You know, it isn't created out of thin air, other than that they do create new stocks, issue new stocks. But what's happening, corporate managers are selling their stocks, and they're also issuing new stocks, which for those that are investing in stocks, when they're doing that, what it does is just serves to dilute the overall value of the stock. And see, what's happening is the corporations are so overridden in debt. Corporate debt now stands at about between $12 and $15 trillion dollars. It's greater than the national debt, and so they're trying to sell stocks to raise capital. Well, what happens is you're not, with all that money being poured into the stock market, you think the stock market would be taking off like a rocket, but in fact it isn't. It's relatively stagnant, and when this money, which I believe is on the verge of stopping, as far as being poured into the stock market, when it comes to an end, that's when you're going to have to watch out, because then there's absolutely nothing to keep it fueled and nothing to keep it going, and then you're looking for look out for a major correction that's going to take place in the stock market.
Well, I think it's going to be more than a major correction. I think once it there's going to be a big major correction, and then from then on it's going to be downhill for quite some time.
I think we're on the verge of heading into a major bear market in the stock market. You know, the stock market, and I thought about this the other day, is nothing more than basically legalized and organized gambling.
That's exactly what it is.
And I don't know how you all feel, but I cannot stand to gamble. I there's something about it, slot machines and all that. I just have absolutely no desire for it. But, you know, if I was a gambler, if I was to play in that area, which, like I say, I absolutely detest it, but if I was, and I took $1,000 to Vegas, and I put it on the craps table or blackjack or whatever, and I won something, the thing that they tell you, if you're going to come out a winner of any sort, is you take your winnings and you set it aside. You pull off your profits, and you tuck it away, and you walk away with that. And what people need to do in the stock market, fine, if you're going to be in the stock market, you know, it's not my advice, but if you're going to be in there, from 1987, about November till now, we've been in a bear or in a bull market in the stock market. I think it's coming to an end, and people have made money. You know, no one can deny that at this point. What you need to do, though, is take some of those profits out of that stock market. Fine, if you want to keep the stock, but take, for goodness sakes, take your profits out of the stock market, put it into something that's real, something that's not going to deteriorate, such as gold and silver, something that when everything else collapses, when the dust all settles, the gold and silver will still have real value.
And it'll still be able to buy just as many loaves of bread in the year 2000 as it did in the year 1900.
Exactly. But what happens is people get this problem right now in the stock market. They get a little greedy, and they're going to let it ride just one more time and let it ride one more time. Well, you ask anybody that's got a gambling problem, they let it ride one more time, and all of a sudden, someday, they walk away from that table with nothing. And that's what's going to happen in the stock market. They're going to let it ride just one more week, and then one of these days, they're going to walk away with nothing. What I want to do is have your listeners call me. Call me tomorrow or the rest of this week, and we'll sit down, we'll talk, and we'll do, just if you like, a free evaluation of their portfolio, where they're at right now, where they want to be down the road, where they want to be as far as protecting themselves financially should this, or when, I shouldn't say should, but when this collapse occurs, how are they going to go about doing it? What's the best way to get there? It's like sitting down and making a roadmap. If you don't have a roadmap, how do you know where to get there? How do you know how to get there from point A to point Z? There's a lot of people that are just kind of floating around there awful lost in the financial world.
That's correct.
Also, when you call to, and this is just something I want to remind your listeners, when they call in to request our newsletter, and I certainly welcome them to do so, the one on how to stop the New World Order and your right to own gold, the figure report, or any of the number of newsletters that we do have, make sure that they mention your name, William Cooper. It sure helps us out a lot to be able to identify the calls and get them placed in the right place.
Yeah, you guys listen to this show, you get special help from Gene. Just remember that.
That's correct.
Make sure you mention my name. Tell them you listen to the Hour of the Time, and you get special help. Anything else, Gene?
No, the everything else is doing real well. The coins that we mentioned last week, as far as the short-term profit coins, the Morgan Silver Dollar, 67 Morgans, 66 Peace Dollars, the higher-end liberties that I'm telling the clients, just do it for the short term to take some profits and then go back in and buy the bullion, either the fractional bullion or whatever. Those are all doing very nicely, doing exactly what we want them to do. And so those of you that are fortunate enough to get in at the beginning stage here, which we are still at, you're going to be very happy, I believe, 6 to 12 months from now. So if you haven't got in, give me a holler. We'll show you and explain to you what it's about and how it works. And with bullion taking off as well, don't sit there and watch it go up into the $400 range. Get it now while it's cheap.
A lot of people do that. They'll sit there and watch it go up $10-$20, and then they'll go down and place their bet, and it's peaked out and it's on the way down a little
bit.
Yeah,
unfortunately that accounts for about 75% of all investors. They get in at the wrong time, and if I could encourage any, talking to listeners or talking to clients today, they're just almost petrified as to what to do. They tell me, Gene, I know I should do something, I know I got to do something, but I just want to think about it for a little while. Well, while they're thinking about it, I can understand it's something that they're not used to. The world has not taught them to buy hard assets. The world has taught them to invest in paper and something very volatile. And this is something entirely new. But for goodness sakes, do something.
Yeah. And folks, just remember this. If whatever's on your mind, whatever ever happens, remember, when economies fail, metals always increase in value. Now, you can play the market because just like paper stock, hard assets go up and down also. A famous man once said, when asked, "Hey, what's the market going to do?" He said, "It's going to fluctuate." And that, I can assure you, everything fluctuates. The hard assets, the paper assets, the bonds, everything, it fluctuates. So, but understand this: when paper fails, hard assets always hold their value, increase in value. And when I say hold their value, I mean that you can still buy the same thing 100 years from now with that same ounce of gold as you can buy today as you could buy 100 years ago.
That's exactly right. And it's the one true lasting standard of money.
That's right. So if you're worried that the economy is going to fail, you need hard assets in your portfolio. And I would recommend that you have a lot of it, believe me. Well, that's against the show. Don't believe me. Go out and check for yourself. Check history. You'll find out that that's absolutely
exactly true.
And it's not to make a killing, folks. I don't recommend it to any of you to make a killing or even to make a profit. I recommend it to you to protect your assets in what we know is coming.
Exactly.
Gene, I want to thank you once again for an excellent first few minutes of the hour of
thank
the time.
You. And look forward to being with you next week.
Also give our best wishes to your newborn son and your family.
Thank you. I'll do that.
Good night, Gene.
Good night, sir.
And ladies and gentlemen, we've been working all day on our media buyout, but we're not ready to let you in on what we've come up with yet. Instead, we've got some other things to talk about. Here, ladies and gentlemen, from one of our listeners. It says, Dear Bill, thank you for your radio program and the message and information which you have the courage to broadcast. You are the only radio personality that is a, quote, real person, unquote. You don't hide under the mask of conservatism, populism, or some other political or religious agenda. When I listen to you on the radio, it's just like hearing the other side of a phone conversation or talking to you in person. You are straight to the point and tell it like it is. You call them as you see them, and you don't care who you offend. It is because of the trust I have in you that I fully back the American citizens buying a major news media corporation and yielding you the voting bloc. One person, especially a person with the conviction and integrity of yourself, can't be infiltrated by the order or some power. Only a member of your organization who has demonstrated extremely strong conviction, the highest of integrity, and is devoted to preservation of our Constitution should be involved in any major decisions related to the news media venture if something happens to you. I believe that the Star Inquirer Weekly World News option is a good direction due to its vast readership and lower price per share. I have subscribed to all three for more than a decade and have always thought that more fascinating stories could be written that are documented and truthful. These publications could then achieve a higher degree of credibility, and I believe that readership would be vastly increased. Also, the economic times are going to become much worse, as we know. The typical sheeple is going to want answers once his body tells his brain that it is hungry and there is little or no food. What I am saying is that I believe many Americans are going to wake up when the poor economy truly affects them and they lack basic necessities such as food, toilet paper, etc. This is the time that a citizens' media network needs to be in place. Americans will be much more open to the idea of abolishing the Fed or at least a monetary reform for our debt usury system. a higher percentage of people will be able to read during this depression, and the mentioned publications will be the most accessible during those times. Regarding the buying of stock, this is something that certainly will not all take place overnight. I initially would buy from 4 to 10 shares myself, but as the buying progresses, combined with campaigns for awareness of the movement, you could continually take a count. When we control a mere 10% of the corporation, or I believe, yeah, 10, or 1%, I'm sorry. No, that's not what he's saying. He says, when you control a mere 0.1% of the corporation, it would be a turning point and should be announced. As more shares are bought and people see that they really can participate, the idea will gain even additional momentum. The next goal should be 1%, and then 10%, and so on. It took 8 months for Project 93's efforts. Remember, and I tell you, a lot of people were not reached or notified of this petition drive until after the fact, including myself. Your idea, Bill, is different than the march in Washington, D.C. for the following. Listen carefully, folks. Number one, people do not need to take off a week or day from work. Number two, shares can be bought in a 15-minute call over the telephone. Number three, people have a certificate of their shares. And four, people will truly be making a difference here, unlike simply a march which can fall upon the deaf ears of Congress and the media. We will be the media, because you represent us, or at least represent a very positive direction for awareness and change that is so needed in this country. People do not fully believe everything you say, but at the truth, another side of the story will be told, and readers will have a fair chance of forming opinions based upon fact instead of information designed to deceive. I will say it again. I am with you on this issue. One other item. We know that there are individuals who call themselves patriots or Christians, but eventually their actions and words reveal their true color, beliefs, and agendas. It is certainly no accident that the Spotlight, the news reporter, Chuck Harder, and others never have articles on Masonic connections to the world's events. Remember, in all things, you will know them by their fruits. I could write for many hours. Perhaps I can meet you someday. Keep up the good work. P.S. I'm sending for one of your info packs. Signed, Fred. Thank you, Fred. And I have to tell you, Fred, all the faxes and letters that we've received since we announced this last Thursday and talked about it on Friday have all been in favor of the Spotlight, or excuse me, I've got that on my mind because I'm holding a letter from the Spotlight, the Foundation for Economic Liberty Incorporated, in my hands, folks. But the majority of callers, faxes, and letters have been in favor of the Inquirer Star Group Incorporated, which, of course, has the National Enquirer, the Star, and the Weekly World News. I think it's a good idea. Also, I'd like to go for CNN, but our research is telling us that we better not, and I'll tell you about that later. The reason the Spotlight was on my mind, and Don, the great fan of Tom Valentine, you better go to bed, pull the covers up over your head, don't even listen to this program anymore. You are a major sheeple. Says, an urgent message to all Spotlight readers from the desk of Tom Valentine, host of Radio Free America, sponsored by the Spotlight. You see, folks, I subscribe to the Spotlight. I like to know what the Nazis are doing. And not under my name, of course. They wouldn't send me this letter if they knew it was me. Dear friend, please note, this is a special confidential letter being sent only to you and to other Spotlight readers. Here's what's happened. Our Spotlight radio project has reached a crisis point. Financial constraints may force us to curtail broadcasting the Spotlight's call-in talk forum, Radio Free America. As the host of Radio Free America, I am obviously concerned. This is the worst possible time for this problem to develop. According to surveys, our radio audience is at least 3 times as large as the Spotlight's weekly paid circulation, and folks, that makes it a lot smaller than mine. And our listenership is growing, he says. That's terrific news. Right now, Radio Free America is on 34 local AM and FM stations in 21 different states, not to mention our worldwide broadcast over shortwave radio. And Spotlight editor Vince Ryan's weekly Editor's Roundtable is heard on 42 AM and FM stations in 24 states. Now, it goes on crying about how they don't have any money to air Radio Free America. Now, folks, I know what it costs to air a radio broadcast because I'm on satellite. I'm on WWCR, and I am on a couple of stations around the world, broadcast at no charge to the stations, and that's basically the same with just about anybody. Also, Radio Free America is sponsored by the Spotlight, Liberty Lobby, the Foundation for Economic Liberty Incorporated, and North America Trading Incorporated. So I know that this is just a way to get money out of your pockets, folks, because up until Swiss America Trading came along, folks, the only sponsors that I ever had was two spots for Backwoods Home Magazine, which I love, and then I gave them a couple of whole shows devoted to them and didn't even charge them for it because I feel so strongly about that magazine. And, of course, Philip Marsh's Untaxing organization. And he sponsored four shows per month. Well, you know that we're doing a minimum of 20 shows per month, and that's in a 30-day month. So, and sometimes we did more. So I know how much it costs to do a radio show. Now listen to this. Foundation for Economic Liberty sending this out to all the Spotlight subscribers. America needs Radio Free America. Dear Tom, I don't want to see the Spotlight's radio programming come to an end. I'm enclosing a contribution to the Foundation for Economic Liberty to help ensure that Radio Free America remains on the air. I understand my contribution is tax deductible, and I'm enclosing, and look at this, folks, $20, $50, $100, $200, $500, or $1,000. You check the box, put the check in the envelope, and send it in. And in turn, for $100 or more, you get a free audio cassette featuring America's first speeches of Colonel Charles A. Lindbergh. Folks, let me tell you something. I don't care if you want to send your money in to this obvious people, those of us who know what this broadcasting costs, and my sponsor pays for our airtime and our satellite time, and I know how much it costs. Tom Valentine has sponsors also, and the stations that air his program on AM or FM get the program for free, and they insert their commercial spots in the normal breaks that you hear here on shortwave radio. So I don't care if you send your money into this obvious scam, but folks, if you send $100 to Tom Valentine, you better send $200 to this program to help us here with our research and to get what we need to get done. We're operating on a shoestring with junk equipment here, folks, and we're making it work. And we're not sending out cards asking you to send us $1,000. Like I said, if you want to do it, do it. But send us twice whatever you send him. If you don't think that's fair, turn off your radio. You don't need to be listening to this broadcast. We don't want you. We don't need you. We need good, intelligent, thinking people. Have you seen the Spotlight lately? Have you seen the coverage of Project 93 in the Spotlight? Well, folks, guess what? There wasn't any. There was a little bitty paragraph stating that it was a NAFTA rally, NAFTA in big capital letters. There were pictures on the back page of the latest Spotlight issue, showing Tom Valentine with a big picture and a picture of D.V. Kidd and a picture of all the other Liberty Lobby people and then a picture of the crowd. Okay? Now, get this. It has a little bitty blurb there. It talks about the NAFTA in big capital letters, bold print, and in little bitty regular print, Project 93. Doesn't talk about anything about abolishing the Fed or the Internal Revenue Service, and at the end, it says that, oh, part of the rally was to audit the Fed. Well, all of us who participated in Project 93 and who went there, we know what it was about. And we know that Spotlight, once again, not only didn't cover it correctly, but has lied to its readers. It was not about NAFTA. It was about abolishing the Federal Reserve and the criminal IRS. Folks, when are you going to wake up? When? And, as this writer asked, why is it that the Spotlight never, ever prints a story on the occult involvement of the secret societies in the coming
New World Order. I'll tell you why. Because they are them. And as four of our CAPI members found out on the steps of the Capitol, if you know how to do it, you get the grip of the Master Mason from Tom Valentine. So, sheeple, either wake up or go lock yourselves in the closet, because the boogeyman is coming. Phone lines are open, 602-333-2174. 602-333-2174. I want to talk again tonight about our investment. I want to make sure before we make a decision. So give us a call. Tell us what's on your mind. And if you want to talk about something else, that's okay too. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about the secret kingdom. And that's going to really, really grab you by the seat of the pants. 602-333-2174 is the number. Phone lines are open. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, my goodness.
Turn your radio.
Okay. Yeah, I just did. All right.
Okay.
I didn't expect to get on this fast. I'm a relatively new listener, and I've never heard of Bo Griffiths, I'll have to be honest, until I heard you talking about him.
Uh-huh.
But I subscribe to the New American.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you have, and if you don't, I'll send it to you, December 14th, 1992. It was an article about Randy Weaver, and they have a picture of Bo Griffiths giving the Nazi salute.
That's right.
You have that?
No, I don't have it, but I would like to have it.
Okay,
but.
And then there's a rebuttal in the following issue by him, and there's a tape that's available, an audio tape, that I'll be happy to order if you want me to have it sent directly to you from the...
Yes, please.
The Burt Society?
Please, and we'd be happy to reimburse you.
Oh, that's all right. It's just a little audio tape with his own words.
Uh-huh.
Okay, great. Well, I just thought this would be the easiest way to find out if you have this.
Yes.
And I will go ahead and mail photocopies of these two articles to you, and then I'll order that tape for you tomorrow.
Fantastic.
Okay,
really
you.
Appreciate that. Thank
you. And we're all for buying a stock.
Wonderful.
Just tell us when.
I really think this is going to catch like wildfire across America.
I do too.
Thank you very much.
Keep with someone else here in my town, and we're excited about it.
Wonderful.
Okay, thank you.
Good night.
Bye.
Phone's open, 602-333-2174. That's right, he did. He was surrounded by little Nazi skinheads, and everywhere he went, they were. And he really thought a great deal about those little criminals, and he did give the Nazi salute. We had CAGI members on scene at the Weaver incident, also on scene in Waco. We didn't have any at the Gordon Call fiasco because nobody knew it was happening. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Del.
Hello.
I found it very discouraging at the Project 93 rally when people shouted down that congressman who wanted to speak about NAFTA.
Well, I did too. That's not the way to behave, but I could understand their frustration. They came to protest the Federal Reserve and abolish the Federal Reserve and the IRS, and there was the Liberty Lobby frustrating every effort, and every speaker was from the Liberty Lobby, and every speech was about NAFTA.
Well, I realize the Fed is very important, but I think it was obvious to me and should have been to everyone that we weren't going to get that abolished with 1,000 people.
That's true. But we did have 1,700,000 signatures, which, by the way, the clerk of the House was going to just put in storage. They weren't going to look at them or count them. So Deavy had them delivered individually to the individual congressman from each state.
Yeah. Well, you know, it does seem to me, and it still seems to me that, if there's anything worse than patriots, it's communists. each other down. And
you're pointing that out, too. Isn't it strange, most of the really good people that I met there and talked to were people who listened to this program and went. They don't belong to patriot groups. When you get into these patriot groups, you get into racist organizations. You get all kinds of control by the enemy. And,
I never considered myself a patriot. I'm just into self-defense, basically.
Well, it depends on what you mean by patriot. If you mean nationalism, I don't agree with that. I mean, the Nazis were nationalists. They believed in their country, right or wrong. You see those in bumper stickers here in this country. I don't believe in my country, right and wrong.
Right.
I believe in an ideal.
But I don't believe in internationalism either.
Well, I believe in an ideal, and the ideal is right now, the best ideal I've ever seen is outlined in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. and the foundation that this country was built upon, which gives people individual freedom. And it says that the rights of the individual are more important than any other rights. And that is what ensures the welfare of the group.
Yeah.
This international group that wants to bring in the New World Order says that the rights of the group are more important than the rights of the individual. Or let me put it another way. They say the welfare of the group is more important than the rights of the individual, therefore the individual has no rights.
Yeah, that's what they say. I'm not sure they believe it.
Well, I guarantee you, none of them have ever believed it when they've had to live under it. Notice that they didn't go to Russia when it was communist. Notice that none of them have left this country to go to Cuba. Notice that they haven't gone anywhere where it's really practiced. They stay here and try to destroy what's good about this country so that they can have it here. And once they have it, I can guarantee you, they'll be the first ones to cry because they're perpetual children. They're crybabies. They don't like anything. They don't believe in anything. So that's why they want Big Daddy State to protect them.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I also think, you know, it's a matter like the 1984 thing. How do you demonstrate your power by making people suffer? You know, I do think sadism is part of it.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with well, I'm not even going to get in. In 20-minute tapes, so... I had to put a 60-minute tape in, and I just turned it over. Okay, the phone line is still open, folks, 602-333-2174. If you'd like to call and tell us what's on your mind, talk about the media buy that we plan on doing across this country, and we're already getting a tremendous amount of interest. Good evening. You're on the air.
I was up there in Washington when y'all up there too there, and I'm right behind you there. I was just wondering, do you know anything about this global outbased education that they're trying to push on us?
Yes, I do. In the New World Order, they want to make the school the center of community life, and you'll go to school from the time you're born until the time you die. In fact, the children will be literally raised by the state and not the parents. And what you will learn in school is not what's true, but what is politically correct. And this outcome-based education is the beginning process of that, where they begin to level the intellect of everybody and bring it down to a lower state. For instance, traditionally, if you had a classroom full of 20 kids, you're going to have one or two kids who are really doing pretty bad and one or two kids that are real stars. And everybody else is sort of in between those two extremes. Well, in outcome-based education, what you have is if the one who's really excelling, the genius, gets an A, and the one who would traditionally have failed the class, is they consider that this child is doing the best that child can do, that child can get an A also.
Okay, thank you very much here. And how can we start, catching groups in this area down here in Virginia?
Well, let me explain to you what CAGI is. A lot of people have a misconception. CAGI is not a political organization. It is not a religious organization. We accept members from all viewpoints, all religions, all political parties. We even take socialists in CAGI. The reason being is CAGI is an intelligence-gathering organization, period. That's all that CAGI does.
Well, how do you get to be part of that?
You can write to us and ask for an information pack. We'll send it to you, and it'll explain to you everything about CAGI and all of the tapes and everything that we have to offer also.
All right. Thank you very much, and keep up the good work.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Yeah, remember, folks, our position here is that I'm trying to tell you people you don't need a knight in shining armor and a white horse to come and rescue you. And I'm not going to fulfill that function. I'm never going to start another patriot group or another group that's going to tell you what to do or tell you which way to go. I give you information. I tell you what I think, and I tell you not to listen to me or believe me or anybody else or anything that you read unless you research it and determine that it's true in your own investigations, in your own research. And that's the way it is. You see, I don't think you need leaders. I don't think you need organizations. I think this media buy that we're going to conduct is going to be the greatest thing that ever happened to the people in this country, and they're going to do it on their own, and they're going to own their own stock. All we're going to do is vote it for them and change the direction of the company. And if the people who own the stock don't like the way we're changing the direction of the company, they'll just simply take their proxies away from us and give it to somebody else. But I hope they've got the sense to give it to one somebody else and not divide up their stock and give some of the proxies here and some over there and some over there. Because to tell you the truth, if they do that, then they'll never accomplish anything. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill. Several weeks ago, I sent to you a snapshot of my copies of the or facsimiles of the Constitution and Bill of Rights.
Uh-huh.
Did you receive those? You know?
Yes, I did. I got whole bunches of constitutions and places to get them. And,
okay.
We're going to be recommending to all of you people where you can write for a free copy of the Constitution. We may even be printing some up ourselves to give out to people when they write the info pack. We're not doing that yet because we don't know what the cost would be. And we operate on a shoestring around here.
Well, the reason I was calling is to because I have not been able to get a reply from the government printing office asking them for a price list or for ordering information for that. And that is a facsimile copy,
uh-huh.
which you indicated would be rather valuable from the standpoint of establishing legally what the document meant from the standpoint of capitalization and such.
That's correct.
And I just wondered if you had had any luck getting the government printing office to give you a price list or ordering information.
Yeah, in fact, we have a catalog from them. It doesn't contain the copy like what you sent, an actual photocopy of the actual Constitution in there. But there are other places where it's available. And we heard from an awful lot of people from that show. Yeah, we got an awful lot of mail. A lot of people sent us places to get constitutions. They sent us copies of constitutions. Some people sent us copies of constitutions, which they said were genuine. And once we examined them, they were not genuine. And many of them were.
Okay, well, I was interested in facsimile, but I was wondering if I was doing something wrong as far as what it took to get a response from the government.
No, they're clamping down on information, and you'll find that they're using the excuse that there's no money to close libraries across the country. You see, we've done, my organization and this radio broadcast and my lecture tours have done more to hurt the enemy than anything that's ever happened or that anyone has ever done in this country. And they realize that we're waking people up and we're teaching them how to go and do the research for themselves, and so they're beginning to shut off the sources of information across the country. There used to be 8 libraries in Santa Barbara, California. They're closing them one by one. There will be one left. When you go to get something Xeroxed in a library, instead of charging you 5 or 10 cents like they used to, now they're charging as much as $1.25. What do you think about that?
It's to be expected.
Yep.
Okay, Bill, thanks. I look forward to hearing information on how to get copies, particularly facsimile copies.
Great.
Constitution.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Bill. It's Steve Wolf from Alpha, Texas.
Hi, Steve.
Good evening. Interesting program. I'm definitely all in favor of buying the stock for a media group, whether it be a newspaper, interest in a cable company or a cable network. I think that's, you know, absolutely what we should do.
Great.
To get a hold of it and get the, you know, get the viewpoints out there and get the information, that being the instrument. And having control of that instrument would be the definite way to do it.
That's absolutely true. Remember what we've always said. There is no such thing as freedom of the press unless you own the press.
Absolutely. So we're all in favor of it, behind it down here, and we'll be waiting to find out exactly what we need to purchase.
Fantastic. We're putting it all together. And thank you for calling, Steve. All the particulars will be in the, and we're finally getting another newsletter out, folks. A lot of you think that the newsletter is supposed to be monthly. I don't know where you got that. It's not in our literature. The newsletter is unscheduled. And no matter whether it comes out once every 6 months or once a year or once every week, and sometimes we might do 2 newsletters a month, we might not do a newsletter for 6 months, but when you ordered your membership, or if you had a subscription before we stopped giving them to the public, you'll get 12 issues. No matter how long it takes, you will get 12 issues, so don't worry about it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening.
Turn off your radio. Turn your radio off, my friend.
Okay, got it.
Remember, folks, when you call any radio station, not just this one, but any radio station, you've got to turn off your radio, put your phone directly in front of your mouth, and speak louder than you normally do. Welcome.
Okay, thank you very much. I didn't expect to get on so quickly, and I appreciate you taking my call. A couple callers ago had some concern about outcome-based education, and I thought your response was on target. I've been studying outcome-based education now for several years here in Pennsylvania. I'm with a regional taxpayer group that covers 7 counties, and we're trying to get on top of this situation. We've been fighting it here in Pennsylvania, which seems to be wanting to take the lead in revamping education and turning our kids into mush, turning their brains into mush anyway.
That's correct.
Wanted to give a little heads up to your listeners, if I might. The U.S. Congress is debating and potentially voting on a national OBE system this week. It's called Goals 2000. It's Clinton's education reform package, and it is horrible. It creates a national school board that will then direct curriculum nationwide. That's unconstitutional.
Uh-huh.
It will furthermore mandate that outcome-based education will be the philosophy used in all schools in the nation. It will direct the equalizing of teacher salary and distribution of funds to school districts.
Socialism.
That is. I tell you what, I've been following this for several years now,
uh-huh.
and I've been doing a lot of history research into history. There's one other educational program like this has been attempted, and it was by Joseph Stalin in the 1920s.
Yeah. And folks, our country is in the hand of the people who have brought about all the revolutions in the history of the world, and they're going to do it to us.
Yes.
They're doing it to us, in fact.
Anyway,
remember, any school or any district or any state or town accepts federal funds will have to accept these rules
yes.
if they're passed.
Yes. As a matter of fact, if the school district tries to buck the system, there are slammers that can be put on the school district. They can cut off funds.
Yeah.
They can come in and take over the school board.
Yeah.
All those ramifications are part of this.
And they can sneak it in.
It's called... In the House, it's House Resolution 1804, and in the Senate, it's called Senate Bill 846. And so please, listeners, call and oppose this legislation. Incidentally, Dick Armey from Texas, representative, has got a reasonably good alternative to this that does empower parents and students.
Uh-huh.
It's an extension of the Hatch Amendment.
Right.
Thanks for the program, man. I'm a new listener. But I'm glad I caught your number so I could call in, and I'll be a faithful listener now.
Wonderful. Glad you called.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Bye.
And while we're on the subject of education, folks, the way that they can take over all schools, including private schools, is to promise the sheeple something like coupons. In other words, you can decide where to send your school, and they'll give you a voucher. You take the voucher, which promises federal funds, and give it to the school of your choice, including private schools. The moment any private school or religious school accepts one of those vouchers, they are now under the control of the federal government. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Good.
I must say, I'm here in Illinois, but I'm originally from Nebraska. I must say about the schools, they had a printing they sent out to all the voters last election from the Secretary of State of Illinois. He's in charge of the libraries and schools and the funding thereof.
Uh-huh.
He was. They had a amendment to the Constitution here in Illinois to increase the proportion of school funding to all the school districts, and he was giving some highlights that Illinois was like number 47th of all 50 states in the amount of money that they fund to the schools.
Uh-huh.
And that number 48, 49, and 50 were Nebraska, Iowa, and South Dakota. I must say that Nebraska, Iowa, and South Dakota, so far as I know, are 1, 2, and 3 in the quality of their education from public schools by statistics. And I'm proud to say that I'm from the Nebraska public schools. And, you know, when I went to school, I don't know how it is now, but... you know, they were mostly, you know, it was the local people that, the local parenting and the local communities that sponsored their schools, not
that's
big government, you know.
That's the way it used to be. And when,
yep.
when government began to take over the schools, our students began to become stupid.
When I, in the mid-60s, they had over 3,000 rural school districts in Nebraska. It was the state in the nation with the most school districts, and, you know, that all those schools have since closed up.
Uh-huh.
But they had some, you know, that's when... When, like, a teacher taught 30 students and maybe a fifth grader, you know, was learning something that a tenth grader was, you know. He had to keep up to speed.
Right.
But anyway, there was one other article here. I belong to the NRA only because they helped the collective gun effort.
Do you believe in gun registration?
No, I don't.
Then why did you register your guns?
Oh, I understand. Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Welcome to the real world, my friend.
Oh, my goodness. I see your point.
And why would you join an organization that has connected gun ownership with animal rights? The way they get new members is they send out these little letters that says, protect your right to hunt.
Oh.
Join the NRA. As soon as animal rights are established, you won't have a right to hunt. Therefore, you will not have a right to own a weapon.
I see. Well, Bill, I see your point, but...
I'm not picking on you trying to embarrass you. I just like to drive home a point when I have a chance.
As a matter of information in there, they had an article, and they're probably, you know, years behind what you already have, but they had an article in there relating to a philosophy called, which you had a few callers back about the importance of the unit as opposed to the individual. They had an article in this month's magazine from them about communitarianism and about a guy by the name of Ed Zioni. I would be glad to send you a copy of that article just as a matter of information.
Wonderful.
They had a small bibliography, and they were relating to how Billary and Hillary were using this philosophy in their approach to government.
Uh-huh.
And they had a couple of scholarly works based on this creep. At the Oni or whatever his name was.
Yeah.
But I had one other question relating to your trip back east there with the trucks. Did you notice anything with the trucks trying to block the roads off when they had construction? Let's say two lanes go down to one and they block both lanes off.
Yeah.
And everybody's backed up.
All the time.
What do you think of that?
I think these truckers are out of control, and I think somebody's going to kick their ass. I think they need a good. They need to be put in their place. You know, there used to be a time when truckers were the knights of the road.
Yeah.
They would help people. They were the most courteous drivers. They were friendly. Now, I'll tell you, if you get on a major highway today, you're putting your life in danger, and most of the danger comes from the trucks.
Hey, I got a way you can raise Cain with them if you want.
Oh, I'm going to raise Cain. We're investigating every possibility. If you got a way, you give it to us, because we're going to sick the world on them.
You know those microwave generators at the grocery store that open up, pick up your body and open the door up for you?
Yeah.
Those things generate a heck of a signal on a radar detector. And I got one of those in my car. I plug it into my cigarette lighter, and I've got a switch on it. And every time I come up to a yin-yang truck driver, I turn that thing on, and he thinks I'm a cop.
Oh, these guys.
That's a radar detector off.
These guys drive at 85 miles an hour, and they come up to within an inch of your back bumper.
I hear you.
You know, you got little children in the car, and you're trying to you know, drive safely, and these guys are going crazy.
Yeah. And how else do you can't afford to fly.
Yeah, that's true.
Who'd want to anyway? Well, listen,
yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I got one more thing to say about your stock. You ever thought about buying a shortwave station? Some of these shortwave stations fall like flies, and usually the religious groups buy them up. Have you ever thought about that?
I don't have enough money, and I don't want to start a corporation. I'm a messenger, and I've got a message to deliver to the world, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, a cable TV setup would be the cheapest way to get in, I think, with your widest dissemination.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Goodbye.
Thank you for calling. 602-333-2174. Let me give you the address to write to, folks, if you'd like an information packet or if you'd like to purchase my book, Behold a Pale Horse, which is 500 pages of the most suppressed, most well-documented information ever published in the history of the world. And I back that up 100%, folks. Write this down, William Cooper, Post Office Box 1420. That's P.O. Box 1420. Sholo, spelled S-H-O-W-L-O-W, Arizona, 85901. One more time, P.O. Box 1420, Sholo, and it's spelled just exactly like it sounds, Arizona, 85901. Our fax number, anytime we're not on the air, our fax number is the same as the call-in number, 602-333-2174. That's our fax number, 602-333-2174. The number for the research center and the studios during the normal business hours during the day is 602-333-5174. 602-333-5174. When we're on the air, both of those numbers are inoperative. You will not be able to call in on 5174, and the 2174 is our call-in line. The rest of the day, 2174 is the fax number, folks. So, from now on, you'll be able to talk to somebody here. Carolyn Nelson is here, and she'll be running the office, and I'll be here in and out, because I've got a whole bunch of other things that I do besides the radio and besides the research. I travel and I speak, and I'm always going somewhere where I'm not supposed to be and sticking my nose into something. So I may be here and I may not, but you can call. 602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Bill. How you doing?
Good.
This is Jim from Michigan.
Hello, Jim.
Yeah, good idea you got on the back deal, but I wanted to tell you something else. You ever heard of the Pontiac Silverdome?
The Pontiac Silverdome?
Down by Detroit, with a big sports arena.
No.
Well, it's kind of well-known in the area here.
Well, I'm not a sports fan.
I know I'm not either, but my wife, she's in the construction part, you know, in the state of Michigan. She's talking to a contractor. She's going to be putting a big 12-foot sensor on this deal, and it was paid for by the DOD.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound kind of weird?
Yeah, it's weird. There's a little town in east central Arizona called Eager. In this town, the high school has a huge sports dome. Cost this town $6 million. There's only $1 in that whole town, and everybody who lives there takes turns holding that dollar. You know who paid for that sports dome?
No, who?
The Tucson Utilities Commission.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Now, why would the Tucson Utilities Commission pay for a sports dome in a little town that does not use its utilities and could not afford to build even, could even afford to build a door on this thing?
I thought I'd bring that to your attention just to get your feelings on it. It sounds smack of,
Have you noticed how many of the new schools have maybe two entrances and no windows?
Yes, I have. That started a long time ago in this state. I noticed it in middle school they were building them like that.
I guarantee it's not to lock the students in.
No. I thought that was kind of weird, and I'd bring it to your attention because, you know, it's kind of the first time I ever heard that, you know, a construction deal going like that, because there ain't to keep the fans in there, is it?
Nope.
Kind of weird.
Yep.
Right, thanks, Bill. I'll call you again one of these other nights and let you know if I can find anything else like that going on.
You're welcome.
And thank you. Bye.
Thank you for calling. Folks, I want you to write these numbers down also, and I want you to call. I want you to call these numbers. If you're in the continental United States, 1-800-289-2646. 1-800-289-2646. That's Swiss America Trading. Call. Ask for Gene Miller. Talk to him. If you want to call tonight, leave your name and phone number. He'll get back to you tomorrow. Make sure you mention my name. Make sure you ask for Gene Miller. If you're out of the United States, if you're in another country, the number to call is 1-602-953-6000. Drop the one. You got other things to call. 602-953-6000. If you're out of the continental United States, if you're in another country, 602-953-6000. That's 6 with 3 zeros. And good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Bill. I'm calling from Connecticut. I had a question concerning buying stock in one of these media operations.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand much about stocks, but what occurs to me is, didn't you mention a figure around 10% of the stock was the goal?
That would be the initial goal.
The initial goal.
Yeah, we don't have to stop there.
Well, my only thought is if hypothetically by accident or by design someone with globalist opinions very contrary to ours just happened to own, say, 12 or 15% of the stock in that same company, wouldn't that make our stock ownership rather a moot point?
No, it would still give us a big say in the policy of the company. Not only that, but you have to understand there's a lot of other stockholders. They may have the same views as we do. Once we get a stockholder list and write them and tell them what we're doing, they may may give us their proxy,
too. Get a hold of the other stockholders and
that's right.
Let them know our goals.
Yeah, and if they catch on and try to keep us from getting the stock by buying stock, you know what happens?
What?
All of a sudden, you guys get rich.
Yeah.
It drives the value of the stock up, and you get rich.
Well, thanks for filling in.
We can't lose on this, no matter what we do.
There was a part of the puzzle there that I just couldn't see.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
Don't feel lonely. A lot of Americans really don't know how America really works, and it's because we were never taught. We're never taught. There's something seriously wrong here when they don't even teach you how your own country works. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. Since last night, I've been looking at all the various media companies out there. I don't know if you or the group you work with have made any decisions yet, but have you considered Gannett?
No, we haven't made any decisions yet, and I have Gannett right here in front of me.
That one looks very enticing. I really looked for a lot of companies that had small insider control, and there's one that I think fits the bill, plus already has the network built in as for a national paper with U.S. Whatever the name of their paper is, I forget now.
Uh-huh.
USA Today.
Yeah.
And plus they own 133 other daily papers around the country, 15 radio stations, 10 TVs, and most interesting of all, they own the Lewis Harris Polling Network.
That's right.
We're talking about, I did some rough calculation here, we're talking about a little less than $7 billion total equity. 10% there is not that much, $700 million. And I think we'd have much better chance getting into that situation than we would with like a CBS or a Cap Cities.
Well, you may be right. I've got Gannett here in front of me. It closed Friday at $48.38 per share with $144 million outstanding.
Yeah, I closed at $48 today. I roughed that out at about $6.9 billion total equity.
Yeah.
10% owned by the Gannett Foundation, 2% owned by directors. There certainly seems like there'd be an opening there.
They're right, aren't they?
Yeah, they certainly are.
Well, we haven't chosen our target yet. We're still working on it.
Well, I just want to, you know, give input here, and I want to go full forward and let you know that folks like myself out here, I've let them know, and when the time is right, we're all going to be jumping in on this.
Okay, and thank you for calling. We got to go. Good night, folks, and God bless you all.